Gentlemen, welcome to Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. And final rule, if this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the Good Bit Podcast. We're here for another exciting edition. Thanks very much for tuning in this week. And this week, we've given ourselves an impossible task. We're going to be talking about a film that we can't even talk about. So this will be the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you all next time. And we'll catch you all down the road. Kidding on, obviously. It is the 25th anniversary of a very famous film by the name of Fight Club, and we're going to break all the rules, and we're going to chat about it for the first time ever on the Good Bit Podcast this week. I can't guarantee you first time I've ever mentioned it. I'm sure we've mentioned it before.
Oh, probably.
But in terms of doing it as like an actual episode, that we're going to chat about Fight Club. So the reason we're talking about it as well is because we saw it at the cinema, which I always try to do if there's a classic film that comes out or a legendary film. See it the way it was supposed to be seen.
Yep.
Especially taking my lovely partner Iona here, who's maybe not seen some of these films. Mm-mm. Good opportunity for her to see it in the cinema as well. How are you, darling?
I'm good, darling.
That was a really delayed reaction.
Wasn't it? Well, it was a question that I had to think about.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
You've come back to the podcast, so that's a good start anyway.
I know. I enjoy doing the podcast.
I know you did.
I really do enjoy it. And I enjoy it when people tell me that they listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it's quite cool. Like, people, like, obviously I know that your friends and all that will listen. Yeah. But now I've got, like, my people listening and watching.
Hello, my people.
And it's just, it's quite funny. They're like, oh, I listen to the podcast. I'm like, did you?
It was a riot.
You can do that. Yeah, listen to me talk absolute gibberish for about an hour.
Well, how do you drink, I feel? So how have you been, what have you been watching this week? I believe you told me you're watching a show called Mary and George, if you want to talk about that
for
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that
good
been?
Good memory.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been good. I have enjoyed it. Have I spoken about it before in the podcast?
Nope, not even once. Tell us a little bit about it. Or how you get into that one.
Oh God, no, yeah, I should really have done my research.
Well, funnily enough, you knew we were recording today.
I know, but... Mary and George, it's about... Oh no, I can't even bloody remember it. That's terrible. I should know what King's about. See, this is part of the issue, actually, that I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Is that I'm not finding it hard to follow with a little bit, actually. Because there's some time jumps. Like,
okay.
Like, months will pass by. So it's like, we're here. And then, okay, now we're like a few years down the line. And
that happens quite often.
And I'm having to watch it with the subtitles so I can catch everybody's names. Because there's lots of... names like kings and queens and ladies and lords.
Yeah.
Let me just get up.
Well, so I usually watch things with subtitles anyway for that reason. Like, I don't know if it's just because I'm a dafty a lot of the time, but like I struggle to follow, especially, you know, shows and films like that. Like when I was watching Game of Thrones or Succession or these things big words. It sounds daft, but it's easier to follow when you can read it as well.
Yeah, I think with this one, it's just so I can understand. Especially because it's like who's on whose side. So, Mary and George, it's as far as I know, it's on Sky.
That sounds about right.
So, the story of the Countess of Buckingham, who moulded her son to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover through intrigue, making her family richer, more titled, and more influential than England had ever seen.
Mm.
So, as it's quite a cool story. Basically, it's just about sex.
Interesting.
And how she made her secondborn become someone. Because, like, back in the day, the firstborns would get everything. They'd inherit the titles, the land, the power.
Yeah.
So when she had her second son, she was like, you are nothing. Basically, you're going to be beside me all the time. But that's not going to happen. We're going to make you someone. And she decided to try and get him a bit of power and get him with the king.
And that's what it's about.
So yeah, it's about her making moves, playing people, using her son like a pawn a bit, like, and him using sex to get what he wants. I'm like 3-4 episodes into that.
Okay, cool. So you still got a bit to go.
So I've still got a bit to go. So still trying to really kind of figure out.
Was it 12 episodes?
Oh, no idea.
Okay.
I've not looked. I'm just downloading it as I watch it. I've not went, okay, let's watch everything. I don't know. I'm trying this new thing of trying not to binge things. So I can actually, which is 10 times worse, as we've seen, because I'm like, what's the thing about? I don't know. Because I'm waiting so long in between episodes, I'm forgetting things and forgetting information. Yep. Whereas before, if I binge it, I can tell you the story like that.
My thought process was the opposite. I thought, like, if you don't binge it and you watch it one by one, you kind of remember more because it's like, oh, that happened in that episode. I can name the episode because of what happened. But you do leave too long of a gap between and then you forget and you follow it. That's why I don't finish a show. You know what I mean? Because
tell me about it.
Yeah, I know, man. It's one of the things I'm... That annoys me about my watching habits.
That annoys me.
It's why I prefer films, because it's done. Jesus.
Yeah, but you can watch a TV show like a film. You just put it on, that's it.
8 hours. That's a long film.
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. I watch, like, you don't need to watch it all, like, at once. You can binge, like, 2-3 episodes. Do you know what I mean? Go.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're
but
right,
not, you don't leave long in between them. So you just go back an hour after and I can...
No, I agree. I should probably watch some more. But that does sound interesting. That's
it's good. I'm enjoying it. Julianne Moore, is that it?
Oh, yeah.
She's really good. And some other people. a Scottish actor in it. What's his name? Mum likes him. Oh, dang it. I don't know his name. We were talking about him the other day.
Gerard Butler.
No, Tony Curran. Is he Scottish, actually? No, I'm saying that. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Tony Curran. He's in it. He plays the king.
All right. And Julianne Moore plays Mary.
Yeah. It's good. I'm enjoying it. I'm excited to see where it goes, what happens. I watched them. I do like a kind of, what do you call it? A period drama. That's quite a kind of dark comedy.
Well, Mary and George is.
Is it dark comedy?
It's meant to be. I don't know.
It's like weird. Anyway. But I like, because I've watched them, Versailles, which again was about sex. Maybe that says more about me than what I wanted.
Probably.
I mean, but I watched Versailles and that was about the French king, Louis.
All right.
That was really interesting. But people complained because there was too much sex in it. And I think it had 3 or 4 seasons and the BBC had it, but then I just never saw it again. And I'm like, well, okay, that never finished.
So you were watching that?
I was watching that. That came out years ago though.
All right.
Not years ago, but a few years ago.
Interesting.
And then I watched, like, The Crown as well. I have not watched the last season. Or I think the last season, the final season's coming out, but the season before that, so I think that's season 5,
okay.
I think. I've not watched that, because that's about William and Kate, them getting together
really?
At St. Andrews. Yeah. And I don't know, in my head, I'm like, no, I enjoyed the fact that this is a time piece. Like, it's in the past, whereas that just feels too current.
Right.
Like, no, I'm living that, so I don't want to...
And also, that makes me think that... I know it's not factual. It's not a factual show.
No,
I know
not.
That,
it's not.
But I'd like to believe some of it. I'd like to buy into it and go with the story.
Yeah.
And the fact it's happening right now, I would be like, I don't know the rest of the story. Am I really going to invest my time? I'll wait until the story's done and then I'll find out later, I guess.
Yeah.
That sounds really morbid. I don't mean that the story's done, that I'm waiting for them to die. You know, I don't
mean
that.
No, I know what you mean, though, but I don't know. And like the final season, I don't know if it... how current it is, and I've seen bits like teasers and stuff, and Imelda Staunton, she's in it.
Yeah,
that's the name. And Olivia Colman was the queen.
That's right.
And so was Claire Foy, who is just spectacular in it. So I enjoyed The Crown when that was on, but I've just not went back to watch the recent seasons.
Cool. Well, I saw a very good film this week called Drive Away Dolls. It's going to be one of those films that we see at the cinema that really go under the radar, that no one's going to see. And I reckon it may get a bit of a shelf life, no pun intended, when it does come out on digital or physical media, like DVD or Blu-ray or something like that. I think people might end up buying it and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely went under the radar at the cinema. And again, we chatted before about like having the unlimited cinema card and how it makes it accessible to see these kind of smaller films and stuff like that. It's great to have the unlimited card to go and see a Marvel film, you know what I mean? Because you're getting in there for no extra cost, but you're also getting an opportunity to see films that you wouldn't normally spend, a tenner to go see. So that was one of the ones this past week. We were just looking for something to do. We decided, okay, we're not going to go for something to eat. We're going to go and see this film. It's called The Driveway Dogs, and it's directed by one of the Coen brothers. Now, the Coen brothers have directed films such as No Country for Old Men, The Big Lebowski, Fargo. They're like quite a known kind of directorial kind of duo, yeah. Right? But this is directed only by one. This is by Ethan Coen.
Just the one.
Lovely. Just one of them. So I don't know what happened to the other one, but Ethan decided to do this one. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's, you know, I just clicked it and went and looked at it because it was the only one on. But I'm glad I did. This is the description on IMDb. Jamie regrets her breakup with her girlfriend while Marion needs to relax. In search of a fresh start, they embark on an unexpected road trip to Tallahassee, the capital of Florida, for those who keep score at home. Things quickly go
of Florida?
Yeah.
Things quickly
go awry when they cross paths with a group of insipid criminals. Not insipid, inept criminals. Two very different words. Yeah, so that's the story. That's a pretty good summary, actually. It's about these two girls. They're really good friends, but they did a really good job because there's a little bit of sexual chemistry between the two of them.
Okay.
And it's like that kind of, they're playing to that, like, are they going to go there? Are they yeah. not? They both like each other, but they're not wanting to admit it because they're friends first.
Yeah.
That was really nice. Nice relationship there. The character played by Margaret Qualley, her name in the film is Jamie. She's like a kind of very kind of outgoing, extroverted, kind of bold mm-hmm. character, young woman who's like having sex with loads of people, who's flamboyant about it, open about it, like mm-hmm. this is what we should be doing at this age and all that sort of stuff. Whereas the character played by Geraldine Viswanathan is someone that's a kind of more kind of introverted character, mm-hmm. Definitely less kind of confident and bold, very shy into, you know, reading and that sort of thing. She was in Blockers. She was John Cena's daughter in a film, Blockers.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I recognised her. So they're really good because they're very different, you know what I mean? Like the girl, Jamie, is very out in the open and then Marion's very reserved. And it's about the Jamie character trying to bring Marion out of her shell a little bit.
Okay.
And be more adventurous and be a bit more bold as a young, attractive woman.
Okay.
So it was very interesting, good, you know, fun film, different film from my perspective, and very funny, very funny, full of sex, and there's a couple of characters that it says the inept criminals, played by, I've got them written down here, they're noted on IMDb as The Goons, is played by CJ Wilson, Joey Slotnick, and hosted or kind of led by Coleman Domingo, who is a pretty famous actor, and they play the kind of like the inept criminals, and they're very like, they're very funny, they're kind of like the daft cops that are trying to kind of track down these girls. Basically, not to spoil things, but there is
but I'm going to spoil
I'm
things
I'm going to spoil it anyway. It starts off with Pedro Pascal, right? The Pedro Pascal. I was like, what the hell are you doing here?
Oh,
his name on IMDb is Penis Collector. So basically, they have a suitcase full of prosthetic penises.
Why is that given like 21 Jump Street?
Similar,
types?
Right? But better than 21 Jump Street. It's a suitcase full of prosthetic penises that they're trying to. I don't know why they want them. I don't know why they want the suitcase, okay. But that's what it's after. And they're trying to do this big kind of exchange. It gets put in the back of a car, and then the two young girls, Jamie and Marion, decide to go into this kind of car rental place. They said, we're going to go to Tallahassee, we're going on a road trip, we're going to, you know, explore and have an adventure. And the person who's an idiot at the car rental place thinks that those are the two people that are wanting the kind of secret car, so he rents the car that has the prosthetic penises in it to these two girls, and they drive away with the suitcase. And then it's about Coleman Domingo and his goons trying to track down, because they've got the car that belonged to them, so it's about them trying to find the girls to get back the suitcase. So very daft story, but a lot of fun.
Right, okay.
A lot of fun. And what it's about, like, retracing the steps and they run into the same people that were there before and stuff like that. Really funny. Totally, again, we'll go under the radar. There's a character in it played by Beanie Feldstein, who plays a policewoman called Suki. And she was in a film called Booksmart, which was very, very good as well. So I recognised her from Booksmart. Thought that was really good. And, yeah.
What was her name?
Her name was Beanie Feldstein. Feldstein. Yeah.
She not related to... Who's in 21 Jump Street?
Jonah Hill.
Aye. Are they not related?
I have no idea.
I'm sure they're related.
So yeah, that is that film. It's going to go totally under the radar. Worth watching. People aren't going to remember it or going to see it, but I really, really enjoyed it. So that was Drive Away Dolls at the cinema.
Yeah, she is. They two are siblings.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that is that. So definitely recommend Driveway Dogs. No one's going to see it, so I hope people actually do see it when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray. So that's really good. All right, so decided to try and catch Fight Club at the cinema because, as I said earlier on, I like to try and see these older films when they show them at the cinema as a kind of... What are you doing?
You keep shaking your leg. Sorry. And it's doing my head in.
Are you trying to... How would they know that? How would they know I was shaking my leg?
Because I know, but I can see it and it keeps distracting me.
I want to try and catch Fight Club in the cinema anytime it's like a classic film or something. I want to see it the way it was kind of supposed to be made.
Yep.
And I knew that you hadn't seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I also knew that when I first kind of, I don't know, thought about it, I was like, this is not an Iona movie, right? We've talked about this a lot before, right?
Yeah.
How it's like we're kind of trying to develop your tastes and, you know, by being a member of the cinema, you know, card, having the account and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then it's going to help with that, you know what I mean? You're going to develop your own opinions and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're trying to make me a more interesting person, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
See more things.
You'll get more things to talk about.
Yeah.
But just in terms of like the way things, like, there's going to be stuff that you don't like in movies and it's good to go and see them anyway, just to kind of know I do not like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's important as well. So Iona's never going to watch Fight Club on her own in the house, right? Not because she doesn't want to watch a movie on her own, but just because it's called Fight Club, the kind of...
Literally, it's called Fight Club.
Literally because of like the kind of the mood of the film, the tone, the lighting, the kind of grittiness of it. It's just not something you would put on, right?
No.
I would show you and go, like, even in the house, that's fine. We could have watched it in the house. That would have been fine. But you wouldn't have... I don't think you would have really cared.
No.
So that's why I was like, this is a good opportunity for Iona to see it in the cinema. Yeah. Now, so I've got a couple of questions for you, right? I'm not expecting a full review, right? You need to check your phone to see if you do actually have
I
notes.
I do actually have notes. She said to me, I went, no, I didn't, and I did.
So before we get into what you actually thought of the film, give me your prior knowledge of Fight Club, your prior kind of like perception. Like when, obviously, you heard of this film before, you knew what it was. Yeah. What were you expecting?
So the only thing I knew about Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. And that Brad Pitt was in it. That was it. I had no idea about anything to do with the story, other characters.
Didn't know the story. That's very important.
I didn't know the story. And I just assumed, with it being called Fight Club, and it was guys kind of liked the movie, and Brad Pitt was in it, and it was it was a rule of Fight Club, not just something.
Yep.
It was a rule of Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club. Thought, yeah, not for me, because I don't want to see men beating each other up. Like, what? I thought it was going to be like a typical guy movie,
a boy movie,
kind of drugs, sex, fighting, violence,
blood,
maybe, I don't know, like just a bit like gang violence, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like organized crime or something, I don't know what, but
that's really interesting.
Please, nobody take offence to this, but I never expected Fight Club to be as clever as what it was, or as thought out, or as interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That surprised me a lot.
That's interesting because you're right. You know what I mean? Like, there's been a lot of movies since Fight Club that, you know, that is fighting movies and, you know what I mean, gritty movies that were maybe just like B movies made for TV or didn't do well in the cinema, didn't have much of a budget, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was just like one of these like kind of blockbuster ones that's made just to get people in the door and just to, do you know what I mean, get the crowds in or be a lot of people pleaser. I never thought it was going to be, I don't want to call it niche because it's not niche, like a lot of people have seen it, a lot of people really love it, but I never expected it to be what genre is it?
Like, it's a thriller, I'd say. A suspenseful thriller.
Yeah.
I'd say probably is a good way to describe it.
I thought it was going to be more like action.
Just action, just fighting, you know, it's probably like about a family or something like that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, right? It wasn't. And then you knew Brad Pitt was in it. I found this really interesting as well. I don't mean to throw you under the bus here, but this is the whole point of having the podcast and stuff and to have this logged is to get these reactions from you and see your journey. You know what I mean? It's on IMDb as a dark comedy, a psychological drama. That's probably a good
idea. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's good.
So basically, where I was going with that was Brad Pitt as an actor. You know Brad Pitt more so as like famous Brad Pitt.
As Brad Pitt,
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He's become a bit of a legend in cinema. But you'd never really seen a film that he was like a proper actor.
No, I'm now trying to think. I feel like I should go on Google, see what he's been in, see if I've seen anything. That sounds terrible. I never really thought of him as an actor. Just like people are just famous for being famous these days.
Yeah.
And whether it's like the media in general, with like kind of pop culture, or if it's about like social media, like actually like Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. It was just like always there, I suppose. Being married to Angelina Jolie and having kids and a family. That's all I really knew. I never really thought, oh yeah, Brad Pitt's a really cool actor.
Really good
I'm
actor.
Gonna go watch him in something.
Thelma and Louise. Have you seen Thelma and Louise? That's one you'd actually really like.
Actually, I've seen parts of Thelma and Louise purely only because an acting class for camera. Acting for camera, Fran gave us a scene. It was one of the exercises, learn this scene in 15 minutes and then you're going to film it. And we were all freaking out, being like, how are we going to do that? And it was Thelma and Louise. And after that, I thought, what is this? And I went to watch a clip of it, or the scene that I had. I'd went to watch that. So actually, I probably should watch it because I think I would really like
Ian
it.
Ian showed us it in films class.
So I don't know how I've done that because normally if I had to go and research something or if I'm interested, I'd normally just go and watch it. But for whatever reason, I've not watched it yet.
Other films that he's in, Brad Pitt, that being, is True Romance, Interview with the Vampire.
No.
Legends of the Fall.
Nope.
Seven, which must have been, so that was 1995, that must have been his first big breakout role. I mean, I don't know that for sure. I wasn't born yet. So Seven, Fight Club, Being John Malkovich, which I've always fancied and never watched.
No.
Snatch, he's obviously in Friends for a couple of episodes, or one episode. Ocean's 11.
Yeah, like when he was in Friends, I was like, when I watched that, I was like, oh, they've just got a celebrity in.
He's the president of the I Hate Rachel Green Club.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Ocean's 13.
Oh, well, I've seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Inglourious Basterds.
Not seen that.
Moneyball. World War Z.
Oh, I've seen that.
12 Years a Slave.
I've seen 12 Years a Slave.
Fury. The Big Short. No. Allied. Deadpool 2. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Ad Astra. The Lost City. Most recently in Bullet Train and Babylon. So, yeah, and loads of stuff. But you're right. Even those films, you just know him. You don't know him from, you know what I mean, True Romance or something like that. You know him as Brad Pitt.
As Brad Pitt,
So I was telling you, I was like, okay, you're about to see Brad Pitt in an actual film. He's great in this film. He's actually one of my favourite actors. And I was really looking forward to seeing, for you to see him actually sink his teeth into something.
Yeah, yeah. It was nice watching him.
Cool, so that's good. Interesting. Right, so then we go to see the film.
Yeah.
Right. First things first, are you glad you saw it at the cinema?
I am.
Why is that?
I think if we were to just put it on one night, sitting in the house, I was kind of maybe rolled my eyes and been like, right, okay, I'll watch it.
Falling asleep, maybe?
Probably. Get distracted. Whereas at the cinema, I thought, no, let's make a conscious effort to really just watch the film and actually just watch it as it happens, not trying to second guess or... Not that I knew any of that would be happening, but like because I never thought it was a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm just going to watch it. I'm not going to turn off straight away or be like, oh, I don't like this or.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, you're watching something in the cinema. You've got the opportunity just to leave, but less likely to do that than if you're watching on Netflix. You can just go and pick up your phone or go into something else. And that's why it's really important to go to the cinema a lot more recently.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Directed by David Fincher. Now, this is a very famous film director, filmmaker, that is quite a, I don't know, not again, niche. Is niche the right word? I don't know. He's got a very particular style. He does these kind of psychological thrillers. They're all very dark and gritty. They're thinkers, you know what I mean? He's done films like Zodiac and Panic Room and Seven, as I said before. Oh, he did do The Game. I didn't even know he did The Game. The Game was the film that was at number one at the box office the day I was born. So my parents bought me that. Because my parents bought me that for my 21st birthday or something, and I've still never seen it. So yeah, he's made these sort of films before. Most recently, he made The Killer, which we talked about on the podcast, and I wasn't the biggest fan of. But he also made The Social Network, which is a really good film, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So he's very...
Oh, here, that's maybe dead good. Have you seen that?
No, I've not seen that, but they made another one, didn't they?
Yeah.
But so that's David Fincher. He's got a particular style. people, it's like Marmite, you know what I mean? Yeah, I love what you do. And I can't say he's one of my favourite directors, right? Because every time I see there's a Fincher film, I'm like, right, let's get your popcorn. Like, let's sit down and let's, okay, we need to watch this then. And I'll, but he's a name, right? He's a name director. So I'll watch everything he does because he's a name director, right? Even though when I asked Ian and Amanda to watch The Killer, I never watched it. But then I went back and since watched it. But yeah, he's got a very particular style. And this film is so him. Right? There's like weird transitions as dark and kind of underground and brutal, and the dialogue's very kind of dry, but it's, there's funny lines in there, but it's delivered in a kind of straight way that you can kind of, you can miss them sometimes, then go over your head, and then sometimes you watch them again, like even this time, this past time we saw it at the cinema was the most I've ever enjoyed the film, because I'm like, oh, that's where we were going with that, you know what I mean? Yeah. You don't catch it on first viewing. So and I can't even say that Fight Club is one of my favourite movies. It's not. It's probably my second favourite Fincher film. I'd say Seven's probably my favourite one he's made. But this is in people's top fives, top tens of all time. And it is a historic film. I don't know if it would crack my top 30, but I think it's a great movie. I'm just throwing a number out there. I don't have a top 30, but I'm just throwing a number out there. But I think it's a great film.
I would not be surprised if you had a list in your notes well, I'll tell you what, though, of my top 30 films.
I was on Letterboxd the other night, and I was like, I need to use this more, you know, efficiently. And I was writing down all my the Blu-rays I've not watched before and keep a list of that for us to go through them and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm just going to make a list on there of all my favourite movies. Just not think about how many's on there, just put them all on there. I think it was about 50 or 60 odd in there. So I guess I could make a list, but yeah, I think it's a great movie. It's not one I'm wanting to watch all the time. You know what I mean? And before I'd seen this at the cinema, I'd maybe seen it two or three times. I'd watched them a few years apart. I probably won't watch it again for another couple of years.
Yeah, I feel like I've accomplished something now that I've seen it.
Is that just because it's a big film and you've said, or because it's going against what you're used to?
Oh, well, actually, yeah, that's a good point, actually. I've not thought about that. More so because it's like one of the films, if you talk about cinema, that one comes up. Do you know what I mean? It's like one of the movies that people talk about. It's like, maybe it's iconic or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But I feel like I'm now like part of the club. I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen it.
Part of the Fight Club. Remember a few weeks ago on the podcast, we're talking about music being iconic.
Yeah.
And we learned that the opposite of that is echoic.
Yeah.
See, when I was editing that, I was like, I have never heard that before in my life. No pun intended. Crazy, right?
I know, yeah. I was like, see, when I was Googling it, just to, we're sitting chatting away, I was like, am I going to get an answer for this? Like, in my head, I was like, is iconic not just like, have your Urban Dictionary? Do you know what I mean? Is it not just like slang?
Yeah.
Not slang, but you know what I mean? Just something that the generation have adopted. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd never actually thought of it. It sounds really daft saying this. It's the only way I can word it, but I never thought of it being like a real word in a dictionary. Do you know what
really?
I mean? Like, because it's so overused.
Is it
always used the right way? No, like people say, oh, it's like such an icon, or that was such so iconic. Yeah, it's so overused that I don't know. You just kind of forget that. Oh yeah, that is a proper term.
Yeah,
that means something.
And so is echoic, apparently.
And so is echoic.
Right. So the lead of the film is Edward Norton, very very good actor. Again, known for this film. Had you seen Edward Norton before?
Don't think so,
I would probably
no.
need to read you out again. If
you didn't go through the whole list of cinematography, but...
But he's very good, man. He was in a film before Fight Club called History X.
I think I might have seen something or heard... I know you've spoke about him. Before, maybe it's just that, I don't know. I have heard of him.
He's in the Grand Budapest Hotel. He's in a lot of Wes Anderson films, Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, I've not seen any.
Isle of Dogs. Let's see, what else is he in? The Italian Job remake, which I heard was rubbish. but I heard that from Ian, so. Yeah, so he's a very good actor, and I think he does a good job, because he's very dry, you know what I mean? He's a very dry kind of deadpan actor, on purpose. I don't mean that as, like, that's just the way he is. He plays that character.
It's not
well.
A negative.
No. That's what the character is supposed to be, you know. So let's hear your notes then. What did you write?
Okay.
And don't worry, we're not expecting, people listening to this are not expecting you to say, oh my God, this is my new favourite movie. This isn't what you're used to, and it's not the type of movie you like.
No.
So I'm happy you came to see it, and I'm glad you finally seen it, and you didn't hate it, is the main thing.
Well, watching this, I'm now like, how have I not watched any more David Fincher movies? Because...
Yeah, thinkers, like, man, you might like them.
I like a wee psychological thinker, do you know what I mean? I hate horror. But something I need to watch and think about, I really enjoy. It frustrates me if I get it wrong, but I enjoy it. Because
normally
I'm always right.
You should either watch Seven next, or you should watch The Social Network. Social Network's about the founding of Facebook.
Yeah, how have I not seen that?
Justin Timberlake's in it.
Well, no bother about him, but whatever. Andrew Garfield's in it as
well. Yeah, and Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, I am. Anyway. Okay. So the first thing that I thought of was probably within the first 5-10 minutes in the movie, he mentions that he's an insomniac.
Mm.
And as I said, when we started talking about this, I was going in, just going to watch it. And just in my wee brain, I was like, oh, insomnia? Oh, if insomniacs normally a bit schizo as well, then you know, a bit crazy because you're exhaustion and sleep deprived, then you start hallucinating. So that's all kind of linked together.
Yeah.
So I just thought, oh yeah.
Especially in movies.
Yeah. Schizophrenic. And on this, I've got too much Criminal Minds and true crime docs about serial killers, hence why I've managed to make the connection. And I was right. I was right. Which kind of annoyed me because I was like, if I just figured it out.
And
really?
It was early on as well, we got another 2 hours left.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So then, and then Brad Pitt's character kind of flashes up.
Right.
So caught onto that straight away. I thought, oh, what was that? And I'm like, that's there for a reason. Who is that? What's that going to be? This is something to do with him.
That's interesting hearing your perspective on that, because a lot of people who watch it for the first time do miss it because it is so quick.
How do you miss that?
But we saw it on a big screen.
But it's so still.
Yeah, I know.
One of the shots, is it not literally, it's his face and it's just in the background.
Yeah.
Of space. There's nothing there, nothing's happening, nothing's moving past, there's no bus.
I mean, the first shot you have for the film is it's the end of the film.
Yeah.
And they work their way back sort of thing. And it's Edward Norton with a gun in his mouth and it's mm-hmm. Brad Pitt, but you don't know it's Brad Pitt, you just see the back of him.
Yeah.
But he's wearing this very distinctive kind of mud brown jacket.
Yeah.
And he's also wearing that in the flashes.
Yeah.
And when you first see him on the plane.
Yes.
And in the airport when he passes him.
Yeah.
So I think if you remember the opening shot, I think you're that's going to be the ending then. You know what I mean?
Well, see, especially because it showed you that. It showed you the end at the beginning.
But I do like that though. That's a good touch.
I like it. But because I'm okay, so that all this, everything that's been shown is important and it's all going to make sense. So then in my head, I really tried not to. I thought, no, just watch it.
Yeah.
But I was oh yeah, that's him.
That's that, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was okay, done. Thanks for giving me the answer straight away.
Did you know he was going to be part of his imagination? There's going to be spoilers in this, by the way, if you've not seen Fight Club 25 years later, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but turn off now, but...
Did you know, so obviously you kind of worked out these schizo and his insomnia and stuff like that. Did you figure out that Brad Pitt wasn't real? Because that's the kind of twist.
Well, yeah, because it parts, obviously, because you saw him in the flight and then in the airport and the car... As well, when he got the car, red whatever
he jumps in the
sports
thing,
car it was right. I thought, oh, that's a cool person, and I was I don't know. It just felt random. I'm like, why did you show me getting in? Why did they show us him getting into the car? He's important to the story. Otherwise,
you
wouldn't have seen that. And then as time went on, I thought, oh yeah, he's a bit nuts. I think I figured him out. Early on, I thought that Marla, when she came into it, and the support groups, I was like, ooh, where's this going? But then as time went on and I kind of figured things out, and then more so when she was more in his space in the house, I was like, I think she's a hallucination.
Now, that's never revealed.
Never revealed.
That plays with your mind.
Never revealed. But, a part of me still, I still believe in
I'm
some
sure
way
you're
that,
not the only one that thinks that. I think she's probably real because she is, I know, totally being a hypocrite here, she is in his space and stuff like that, and I know Brad Pitt is as well, but I think that he's having the hallucinations about her because he is so close to her, and I think that obviously Brad Pitt's this character in his head that you'd be thinking, oh, maybe because she's actually she's with Brad Pitt's character, you know what I mean? So I think she is real because obviously she starts going to the support groups with him. I don't think he would be having those hallucinations if she didn't actually show up at those groups, the testicular cancer group and stuff like that, you know? But that's just my opinion. And that's the thing about David Fincher. It's like you're supposed to come up with your own.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, how can a man, his character, Edward Norton, mm-hmm. his character kind of have some form of connection with another person like Marla? Do you know what I mean?
You think that wouldn't happen?
Like, in my head, I'm like, no.
That wouldn't happen.
Like, I think he has made it up in his head. Okay. I think it's part of his insomnia and paranoia that he's paranoid that he's going to get caught out. So he's created this
whole other life.
Whole other thing in his head of this person finding him out. So then it almost relieves his anxiety of the possibility of being found out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you know what I mean?
I almost think, though, they wouldn't have it as two people in his head. That's why I think Brad Pitt is the one that he's created himself in his head, and that he's not real.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, I think, has this complete like alter ego.
Alter ego. What he maybe wants to be, yeah. The kind of rebel, the yeah. you know. In terms of the fighting itself,
yeah.
you know, you're someone that doesn't, you know, enjoy stuff like that. Was mm-hmm. it too much or was it manageable? Did you were able to, I mean, there were certain scenes you were kind of turning your head away, but it wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it was fine. I think a part of me expected like everything to be really bloody and gory and like you see the impact of the punch, like
yeah.
a lot more close up.
Slow-mo and stuff.
And yeah, like you were like in the fight. Whereas you were always kind of like just a spectator, I think, from what I can remember.
Yeah.
It was never like a close up shot of like the fist in the face.
Like a broken nose or teeth coming out.
Yeah, which makes me go, oh, do I want to watch that?
There was some blood being spat and stuff
like
that.
There was some like, was it like a brain or something?
Oh my god, that's a bad bit.
That's gory.
Aye.
And I'd go, oh, but I was able to watch it. I just don't like, I don't know who does, but I don't like seeing people fight. Even in the playground, growing up in primary yeah. school, if like I saw a fight happening, I'd go run and get someone because I hate watching it. People yeah. would crowd around and be like, yeah, start cheating or whatever. And then in high school, obviously, people start getting their phones out and filming it. And then the video goes around the whole school. I always hated that. I hate violence. I hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's disgusting. Anyway, hence why I don't like UFC.
Yeah.
But I'll watch wrestling any day, darling.
Good. I'm glad I've got that on record. Good. I'm glad it didn't totally put you off then.
No, it didn't. I'm just trying to look through my notes to see what else I've got. Oh, I've got, it was all just a dream ending, ?
Oh yeah, I remember you saying this after we saw it and you were a bit like, is that annoying, the fact that it's a bit like that? Whereas my argument was, it's not that it's all just a dream and woke up in the rest of his life.
No, it's a lot more clever than that, obviously. But
yeah, it's a lot more psychological. It's in his head more than just a dream. It's not just he went to sleep one night and then woke up and all this had already happened and stuff. I think it's really interesting because you're exploring the kind of schizophrenia aspect of it and stuff like that. But I don't think it's... I think you look at that being, oh, it's just a dream, it's like an easy ending. I don't think it's fair to say that. I think it deserves a bit more credit than it was just a dream.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It was only just a dream. Thinking about us.
Good movie, but now I've watched it, I'll probably never watch it again. And I put that down. Now talking, I think I will watch it again.
I think it is a rewatcher.
Because I think I want to rewatch it to pick up on more. I always enjoy doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, being like, oh, I never saw that before.
In my opinion about never watching films again, you're going to live for a long time, touch wood. You know
hopefully.
What I mean? And you're going to be with me, you know what I mean? So you're most likely...
I don't have a choice.
You're most likely going to need to watch some stuff again. But I think it's fair to say, I'm not watching again. You can give yourself 10 years. After 10 years, you can watch anything again after 10 years.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm not going to go home and
watch it tonight.
I mean, one night I'm like, oh, would I watch Fight Club?
Well, that's what I mean about it not being one of my favourites. Like, it is a film that people go, oh yeah, like I can watch any night of the week. And it's not, it's a bit too serious. It's a bit too psychological. It's an intense thinker sometimes. Like, you watch, I mean, it's like Christopher Nolan. Like, you watch some Nolan films. The only Nolan film that I think I could watch again and again is like The Dark Knight. But that's helped because it's a superhero movie. You know what I mean? I'm not going to watch Oppenheimer all the time. I'm not going to watch Memento or Interstellar or Inception because they are pure, like, mind-boggling films.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need a break after watching them. You know what I mean? And this, I don't think you necessarily need a break, but it's a bit, it's quite hard on the brain.
Yeah, it's a lot. We obviously spoke about that, Brad Pitt kind of flashing up his character, kind of appearing. But you said, and I don't know if this is true, you said that he only flashes up 3 times.
I don't know if I said that. Like I may have read that fact.
Well, there's a reason I've got it in my notes, because you probably said it. And then I've put down, did it kind of ruin it for me?
Mm.
Like, did it give too much away?
Yeah.
Just for my brain that doesn't stop when I watch a movie. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, okay, would I like to try and get the...
Oh, you're asking that question. You're not saying it did ruin it for you.
No, I don't know if that's the thing. I can't tell, like, if it frustrated me that he kind of flashed up and that was it. And then he appeared as a person.
Yeah.
And then he was a character. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Okay, interesting.
About, like, the whole, the teasing.
Yeah, you don't know if it was needed.
Like, a bit of foreshadowing or... Yeah, I don't know.
Cool. That's interesting as well. But I really like the film. I think it's great. I think it's so well made. But you could speak to someone else and they might have loved it more than me, you know what I mean? And probably have more, you know, impressive or exciting things to say, interesting things to say than me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm glad you saw it and you didn't hate it.
No, I did not hate it at all, and I did.
Worth watching.
When we saw Gregory, he asked me, yeah, but did you enjoy it? And I was like, and he was like, yeah, did you enjoy it? Like, did you like the movie?
Yeah.
He's not asking if it's like my favourite movie of all time, but did I enjoy it? And yeah, I did. I enjoyed watching it. And like I say, I'm happy that I've now seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you saw it. Thanks for coming to see it with me. And I hope there are some more kind of films like that that we can see in the cinema, because it's a good way to kind of...
I'm going to pick the next one, because you've picked the last couple.
Okay.
And I'm going to have a look and I'm going to pick the next one that we go to together.
Okay, that's fine. I think that sounds good. We had an idea of going to the DVD shop and both picking a film that the other person... Iona said that. And we could, that's a good idea. We could do that.
Yeah.
Pick something you think the other person will like.
Pick something the other person will like. Whether it's to do with the director, the cast, the story,
it might be
genre.
Totally random, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do that.
There has to be a thought process behind it, though, not just...
Maybe a fun episode too, you know.
I think it will be. You're welcome.
Thank you.
The good bit viewers and listeners.
Yeah. More great content from Iona, all because of Iona.
Yeah.
Right, everybody, thank you very much for listening and for watching this episode. Go check out Fight Club wherever you can find it. I'm not sure what it's on. It might be on Netflix. I'm not 100% sure. But because it's the 25th anniversary, if it's available anywhere in the cinema, definitely try and catch it, because it does help. And like, just in terms of like the story and the dialogue and stuff, it's just easier to pick up, I think, in that kind of cinematic environment.
Yeah, because you're focused in on it.
Yeah, and your phone's away. Yeah. As I was going to say, this was made in 1999, so that time in life was all about kind of anti establishment and stuff like that. Damn it, there's the camera ran out of battery, so I'm going to swiftly move over here to Iona's seat.
Come sat.
To finish this episode. Yeah, we're quite zoomed in, so I'm going to lean back. All right, everybody, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you all next time on the Good Bit Podcast. Take care of yourselves, and we'll catch you all down the road.
Bye.